Staying in can be hard on everybody, but it's a special kind of hard for little kids and the people who love them. So we're here to help with some TV recommendations for those who are toddling through isolation.
We've brought some ideas for things to watch that we hope will delight your littlest quarantine companions and maybe you as well. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. We're talking about recommendations to parents with young children today on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Also with us, logically enough, back on the show, our great friend Barry Hardiman, now of the new NPR program, The National Conversation. Hi, Barry.
Hi, how's it going?
It is going well. I'm so delighted to hear from you. Just in a sentence or two, can you tell us what The National Conversation is for people who haven't had a chance to hear it?
Well, I'd love to. It is a listener-focused call-in show that we stood up about a week after the quarantine really started taking hold for coronavirus. And we just take questions with NPR journalists and experts on all things coronavirus. I think we had Linda on recently, yep. or maybe even in the first week.
It's true. And, you know, everybody always talks about doing radio in their jammies. That is a thing I actually did in my jammies in my bed.
Yes.
Well, it's wonderful to have you with us. And you are here partly because you have two children. How old are they now?
They are now 6 and 9. So not exactly toddler aged, but they were both toddlers. One of them is 6. So 6, I think most parents know, 6 is just really bridging the gap between actual person and talking dog toddler. So toddlerdom is very much in my mind.
Yeah. So we knew we had to have Barry with us to talk about some little kid recommendations, because I have heard from a lot of people who are trying to figure out how to manage their littles at this time. Stephen, you don't have littles now, but you had littles. Can you give me a first pick?
Well, I think it's important to clarify, you know, these recommendations are for very little kids, and everything that we are talking about, all of the recommendations on this episode are TV. And I think there are parents of very young children and people who give advice to parents of very young children who tend to obsess over screen time and how much screen time a toddler should have. And look, these are unusual times. And the first thing that I want to say before I even start doling out recommendations is just to remember that you're doing the best you can. You're doing fine. If you need to put your toddler in front of a TV or a tablet, and that is what needs to happen for you to stay sane, for you to get your work done, then so be it. Your kid is going to be fine. Your kid has you. That's what's important. I wanted to get that out there.
And I will also go so far as to say, as a person who obsessed about this, didn't obsess about it, so, you know, goes back and forth, the important part of the best you can is the you can part.
Right.
So if you are stuck on the fact, well, the best is only 2 hours, it's the best that you can do given your circumstances. You're doing great.
Exactly. So my first recommendation is something that my parents put in front of me when I was a very small child back in the 70s, which has been fairly recently rebooted for new generations, The Electric Company. The Electric Company is a educational children's program in the 70s. It featured such wonderful luminaries as Rita Moreno. It is an extraordinarily charming kids show that is really focused on education, but does it in such a warm and inviting and pleasant way. So the original 70s Electric Company, you can stream it via Amazon. It does cost money. You can find pretty lengthy excerpts of it on YouTube. It's floating around. And, you know, a lot of us who grew up in the 70s will have, you know, like individual favorite moments from the Electric Company. I just remember that was something that my parents really loved to have on and around because, though it was geared very, very much to little kids, and they say that it's geared toward 5 to 9, but I think you can really go younger than that. My parents didn't go nuts watching it. Now, they recently rebooted The Electric Company from 2009 to 2011. Those 3 seasons you can stream for free at pbs.org. And as an incentive for parents who listen to this show and have not checked out the rebooted Electric Company, one of the cast members is William Jackson Harper, who played Chidi on The Good Place. One more incentive to watch the new Electric Company, occasional guest spots and occasional music composition from one Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, we could go back and forth comparing the quality of the two. There is no way to compare something you were nostalgic for as a child with something that is trying to duplicate that magic. But that is a marvelous piece of educational programming that is still entertaining and that is right up there with stuff like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and Sesame Street and all sorts of the wonderful stuff that you can find on PBS Kids. Electric Company is just a gorgeous piece of that puzzle, and I don't think it gets as much recognition as it should get, especially compared to some of those other classic pieces of programming.
Love it. Excellent pick. Loved Electric Company. Barry, what is your first recommendation?
We, in our family, when my oldest was younger and I was pregnant with my second son, it was really imperative for me to be sitting down, lying down, pretending that I didn't have a child for like 2 or 3 hours a day. But I also had already watched so much, you know, Daniel Tiger, which is wonderful, and other PBS Kids thing that probably taught me a lot about parenting. But I wanted something that I also really liked. From the creators of Wallace and Gromit, Shaun the Sheep, which I have so many. I mean, I literally have photographs of both my husband and my then 3-year-old watching Shaun the Sheep and both laughing at exactly the same amount because it is genuinely funny. It is the first thing that I think our family all liked the same amount, where we really all were engaged in it in the same way. You know, you're not pretending to love, you know, Mom Tiger or whatever. You're not pretending to be like Mom Tiger. Mom Tiger's really haunted me over the years, guys. but I will say that Shaun the Sheep is both adorable in terms of its slapsticky laughs, but it also looks gorgeous. So if you're not familiar with Wallace and Gromit, they created these beautiful claymation, sort of handmade aesthetic from Aardman Animations. And Wallace and Gromit, I also highly recommend, but it's more of a sophisticated storyline. What's great about Shaun the Sheep is that they are sort of snackable. Basically, it is a brilliant sheep named Shaun and the adventures of him and his farmer and his friends. And it is genuinely funny. There are all of these little references that are incredibly sophisticated without going over the head of your little ones. There's a kind of Buster Keaton-esque quality to it. And I can watch them all the time. I really, truly do not get sick of Shaun the Sheep. And my kids, who are now, as we said, 6 and 9, still really love them. It's about that and maybe the British Bake Off are the only things that the entire family can agree on. If you've missed out on it, please go back and watch it. And you may find yourself watching it even without your children.
Yeah. And where do we find it?
You can find it in a myriad of places. It is on Amazon Prime. It is on Netflix. The Shaun the Sheep extended universe of both movies and also the Wallace and Gromit from the same animation studio are in many streaming places. So I think if you just search Shaun the Sheep, you will find a gorgeous claymation that will make you giggle.
That is a great pick. And man, my kids now are 19 and 16. And at no point in their lives has there been more than like a small handful of things that everyone in the family can enjoy at the same level at the exact same time. So when you find one of those, the love that you experience as a parent for that piece of entertainment is intense. I feel you on this one in a big way.
Very, very nice. Excellent pick, Barry Hardiman. Steven, you're going to give us your second pick. And this did not surprise me, buddy.
Well, this one is specific to one of my kids, particularly my older kid, my son Jonah. When he was little, he obsessed over a cartoon that I watched as a kid called The Wacky Races. And The Wacky Races were a very short-lived Hanna-Barbera cartoon, aired in late 1968 and a little bit in early 69, and then has kind of lived on in reruns. There's a DVD set that has like the complete collection of the Wacky Races. Hanna-Barbera cartoons are pretty primitive. You're talking about children's TV in the late 60s. You have some kind of squicky gender stuff. There's like one female racer, Penelope Pitstop, who's like more concerned with her makeup than with racing. It has...
That name is amazing.
Penelope Pitstop is a...
I'm going to insert Pitstop into my middle name from now on. Barry Pitstop Hardiman.
Barry Pitstop Hardiman. The thing is, though, there's something about the way this particular cartoon cartoon was structured, where each episode of the show, all of these goofy characters, they were the same characters. The plot couldn't be simpler. They're racing. And at the end of each episode, one of the racers wins. There's a bad guy racer named Dick Dastardly and his sidekick, Muttley, who has that famous little wheezy laugh. And my son, who was obsessed with numbers, kind of obsessed with a certain amount of scorekeeping, managed to latch into it not only as a piece of like fun, cartoony entertainment, but kind of latched onto it as like a statistician almost, and really got obsessed with it. Even though there were only 17 episodes, he just watched them over and over and over again. Now, the Wacky Races have existed in a couple of different forms. There's a Wacky Races game for like the Wii that the kids also played. This is also like the Electric Company is one that got rebooted. And it got rebooted a few years ago. And once again, if you're obsessed with the 1968 version, you're going to watch the version from like 2017 or 2018 and roll your eyes because it's not the exact entertainment that you grew up with. But you look at the voice cast on this rebooted Wacky Races. It's Tom Kenny, who's TV's SpongeBob, Jill Talley, who's also a voice from SpongeBob. She's also from Mr. Show, like Tom Kenny. And Billy West, you know, who was, you know, Stimpy. He was Fry in Futurama. You have some really lovable voice cast working with this show. So Wacky Races isn't necessarily the top of very many people's list as far as like high quality children's programming. But it was really important in my house and really had this nice kind of cross-generational appeal where I got to feel nostalgia watching it, and my kid hooked into it in ways that even I never did.
Wonderful. And Stephen, where do we get Wacky Races?
Well, like I said, the original Wacky Races is on DVD. You can also find it on Amazon Prime, though you do have to pay for it. The rebooted Wacky Races you can find on the Cartoon Network-affiliated Boomerang channel and also access it through Amazon.
All right. Thank you very much, buddy. Now, Barry, let's go to you for your second pick.
I'm going to recommend Bluey, which if you were wondering why you got Disney Plus, I know that often I wonder that. Also, I don't have kids that are obsessed with Disney movies in the way that, like, I actually am way more obsessed with them than my kids are. Mm-hmm. At one point, my husband and I were like, let's just go deep into Disney Plus and see if there's anything here for us. And we came across Bluey, which is an Australian cartoon about a little dog family. And first of all, it has a theme song that is so catchy and so adorable that, like, right now my butt is spontaneously wiggling a little bit thinking about it. And I do have an often spontaneously wiggling butt, but this is truly related to Bluey. It is this darling family show about these little dogs. Bluey is the little older dog, and Bingo is the little one. And I think what it does is it scratches, for me as the adult, it scratches the itch that Peppa Pig never did. This has the adorable accent and the kind of family feeling, but it feels more authentic than Peppa Pig, where they're always making fun of the way Daddy Pig looks for some reason. I have actually gotten great parenting ideas from watching Bluey's parents do their parenting. We actually do now the freeze xylophone thing where you play the note and you have to freeze. It has that kind of watercolory but still bright quality and sort of squared off little dog faces that I just love. And it is so wholesome without feeling like you're eating a vegetable. And it has, again, I'm sorry, Mom Tiger, it has all of the great parenting tricks and ideas in it without making you feel like you failed, you know? So it, like, Bluey has really been so important to us during this quarantine. And I really would encourage you to watch it with your kids because it is inexplicably delighting to people of all ages. And you too might find it a boon in quarantine. So that's Bluey. It is on Disney Plus right now. The theme song alone is worth the price of the ticket.
Wonderful. Fantastic. And if you are looking for more kids recommendations, we have an episode from March 4th, 2011, which is too old to still be in the podcast feed, but it is available through npr.org. And we will link to it in our newsletter. The recommendations in that episode include classical music for kids, Pee-wee's Playhouse, Schoolhouse Rock, George of the Jungle, some of the things that we also love. And, you know, while you are thinking NPR thoughts, check out Wow in the World. That is the NPR podcast for kids. It's hosted by our buddy Guy Raz and Mindy Thomas. And that is now publishing daily. So tons and tons of recs. Let us know what yours are. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PCHH, or tweet us at PCHH. When we come back, It's going to be time to talk about what's making us happy this week, so stick around.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Best Fiends. Have more time on your hands? Connect with family and friends and engage your brain with fun puzzles by downloading Best Fiends, the 5-star rated mobile puzzle game with over 100 million downloads. The game is updated monthly, so there are always new levels to play, events to master, and cute characters to collect. And you can play without an internet connection. Download Best Fiends for free on the Apple App Store or Google Play today. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp, a truly affordable online counseling service. Fill out a questionnaire online and get matched with a licensed counselor best suited to your mental health needs. Whether it's depression, anxiety, or trauma, BetterHelp will help you overcome what stands in the way of your happiness. Learn more at BetterHelp.com and get 10% off your first month with promo code HAPPYHOUR. BetterHelp. Get help anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. It's time for our favorite segment of this week. And let's face it, every week, especially now, what's making us happy this week? Steve and C. Thompson, what is making you happy this week, sir?
Well, this is going to be the least controversial pick I will ever make because everyone loves it. But Fiona Apple's new album, Fetch the Bolt Cutters, if it
going
is not
going out on a limb there, Thompson.
Going out on a limb, but we didn't get it. We haven't had a chance to mention it on the show because it just came out last Friday. I think we could do a whole episode just talking about how great this record is. It is very likely to be my album of the year. NPR Music across the board, we're in love with it. It's Fiona Apple's first album in 8 years. It manages to be forceful and arty and inventive and dark and personal, while at the same time being completely catchy and accessible and quotable. It is earwormy and strange. I really love this record so much. If there were a Grammy just for use of percussion on an album, I think Amy Eileen Wood, her drummer, would win that Grammy. It is just terrific. If you somehow have not yet checked it out, Fetch the Bolt Cutters by Fiona Apple. Very likely to be my album of the year.
Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. A good recommendation. Barry Hardiman, what is making you happy this week, my love?
So happy isn't maybe the right word, but I certainly look forward to it every night. It is Babylon Berlin, which is a German Netflix show, which takes place between the world wars. So we are in the Weimar Republic. And it is based on a series of German detective novels, which I have not read, by Volker Kutscher. And now I'm not even sure I need to read them, which I almost never say, because this is so clearly its own beautiful thing. It follows the misadventures of a German cop named Gerion Roth and a marvelous, just such a great heroine, Charlotta. By day, she is an investigator for the Vice Squad and sometimes the Homicide Squad. And by night, she is trying to make money any way she can. Yes, that's what you think it means. It is dark. It is dirty. It is one of those things that's very interesting to watch right now because you can see the collapse of the social order that is going to lead eventually to the Second World War and Hitler. But everybody within the world doesn't know it yet. So there's something very odd about being in quarantine and watching good and decent people along with some really awful people go through the motions of their life while having this deep, deep sense that the entire world is going to collapse. There are a lot of complicated plot threads, but I found it just absolutely mesmerizing. And there are 3 seasons of it on Netflix. Highly recommend Babylon Berlin on Netflix.
Thank you very much, Barry Hardiman. I know a bunch of people who like that one, too. I might have to check that out myself.
Not for toddlers.
Not for toddlers. So, you know, sometimes the things that are making me happy during quarantine times are ordinary things that I think would affect me the same way at any time. Sometimes they are things that I think in some very subtle way are related to isolation. And sometimes they are things like what is making me happy this week, which is very heavy-handedly related to the fact that I'm in isolation. I have started watching YouTube videos of people fixing broken things. So I watched a 7-minute video the other day, and people know about these because this video has 8.2 million views of a guy restoring a totally busted, looked like maybe run over by a car iPhone. So the whole thing looks bent. The pieces are bent. Obviously, the screen is smashed, but the actual body of the thing is busted and coming apart. And you think, like, nobody can save any part of this phone. And it is true that they have to put on a new front and a new back. But you watch these hands, and it's speeded up during, obviously, most of it, so you're not watching a 26-hour video. But you watch these hands take apart this iPhone with teeny, teeny, tiny little screwdrivers and pull pieces off of it very carefully one at a time and clean them and put them aside and then reassemble it with, you know, just a couple of new pieces. There's a new front and back and I think a new battery maybe. And then everything else, like, is just meticulously put back together. Having watched that, I also went on to watch the restoration of a Chanel handbag.
Ooh, up my alley.
The restoration of a vintage dress. The cleaning of several wedding dresses. There is a whole world of stuff getting fixed. And there is no question that there is part of my brain right now that's like, I just want to watch people fix things that seem like they can't be saved. Oh, and I have to mention one more. The fixing of a 20-year-old Lenovo laptop that when you see it... It's so funny because you just, it's like it's found in a dump, basically. And it's like, well, no, there cannot be anything left of this. Seeing somebody turn on a laptop that is 20 years old that looked like it had been run over by multiple trucks and left in a dump for most of those 20 years, it's real satisfying. You can find any of those on YouTube. Just look under restoration videos. You can look under laptop restoration, iPhone restoration, vintage dress restoration, wedding dress restoration. Restoration videos on YouTube, my new favorite thing.
That is news I can use.
And that is what is making me happy this week. Before we go, we do want to mention, we are going to be talking about, you know, we did a listener poll. It led us to cover Schitt's Creek. We are moving to another choice from our listener poll that got a lot of votes. We are moving along to Dairy Girls, which is on Netflix. And we're going to be talking about that on Wednesday, May 6th. Again, we want your questions. Email a voice memo with a question to pchh@npr.org. We might use it on the show as we did with some of our Schitt's Creek questions. And that brings us to the end of our show. You can find all of us on Twitter. You can find me at Linda Holmes. You can find Steven at I Dislike Steven. And you can find Barry at B. Hardiman. You can find our producer, Jessica Reedy, at Jessica_Reedy. And our producer, Mike Katziff, at Mike Katziff, KATZIF. Mike's band, Hello Come In, provides the music you are bobbing your head to right now. Thanks so much to you guys for being here. It's so good to have you back, Barry.
It's so fun to be here. Thanks.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second, again, subscribe to our newsletter. It's over at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. It's my baby. We will see you all right back here next week where we're going to talk about video games on the Nintendo Switch, a thing I've been bending your ear about on Twitter. So we will see you then.
Hey, it's Guy Raz from NPR's How I Built This, and each week on the show during this unprecedented crisis, I'll be asking some of the top founders and builders how they're dealing with the economic impact of the coronavirus and hear about some of the ways they're pivoting to fight it. Subscribe or listen now to How I Built This.